Well, the trust challenge has officially started. We're already in it. Do you feel it? Like Susie mentioned, many have been through it before already. And they're coming back again tonight. But some haven't, and they don't really even know what it is or what we're talking about. But you'll know in 2 months. But you just follow your heart. The Lord's dealing with you to come. And I know it's a sacrifice. We're all busy. But if the Lord's dealing with you to come, just be obedient to Him. Follow the Holy Spirit. He knows what He's doing. There's a lot of things I haven't understood over the years, but just stepped out in faith, following what He said to me. And every time it comes out better than I could ever imagine. Because He's taken us somewhere. So during this time, and you know, we're always under the trust challenge, but we're just having this season here. We're saying we're just going to open our hearts in a greater way to God, and into His Word, to the Spirit of God, open to Him in prayer and study, and we're ready to grow and move forward. And you know, part of this trust challenge of coming to the intensives tonight is not only coming and hearing, but then coming with a heart to share. That's very important. Fellowship is a big word in the book of Acts. And when it gets down to it, what that word means is to share. And that's really what life is about. It's about people sharing with you and you sharing with them. And so that's really what's going to happen during these intensives, is it's going to be sharing. And it's just so rich in what God's doing, in the connections. And it will be strongly connected to Him and to each other. But a good way to begin the trust challenge here is to look in Matthew chapter 6. That is an awesome chapter, and so we're just going to spend some time there today. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. And I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm going to read from the Message translation. So you can follow along in your Bible, or look up here and follow along here. Don't hoard treasure down here, where it gets eaten by moss and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you'll most want to be and end up being. Now, in Jesus' time, people showed their wealth in their clothing, in what they wore. And of course, we didn't have, man-made fibers like today. And so everything was natural. And so the fine clothing, you know, one moth could get in there and eat up your clothes. And so if your confidence is in that, one little bug can destroy that fine clothing. I remember I had, Susie gave me a nice, we used to be in cold weather a lot more. This we have down here, I hate to tell you, it's not cold weather. I know you think it is. But so Susie had given me this cashmere jacket, really expensive jacket. And it was a camel color, and I love that jacket because it was from Susie. And I had it in my closet, and it was up for the winter time, and pulled it out the next winter, and lo and behold, little holes. And you can't repair that. So my favorite jacket now is gone now. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But I'm glad my love for Susie was not in that jacket. The word rust, you can take that scripture down, guys. The word rust means to eat away at something. And so it could be metal, but in the time of Jesus, to eat away mainly meant crops. So talked about building barns and having your crops in there, but mice and rats and worms eat away. And so you can look at your big barns and put your confidence in that and think, oh, well, I'm safe. My grain house is full. But while you look at it and everything looks fine, rats are eating away. That's not a pretty picture, is it? So your confidence should not be in your barns and in your storage. And then the houses at this time were built out of clay, and very flimsy walls. And so you had no place to put your valuables but in your house. And so you could be gone during the day and come back, and burglars could have easily gotten through those walls. And you come in and all your valuables are gone. And so what Jesus is saying here is, things come and go. Things are temporary. Things can be eaten. They can be taken from us. And so, you know, that's not where we put our hope in those things. They're not eternal. And I tell you, in our society, everything, you know, TV is all about money. TV is all about stuff. We wouldn't have TV if it wasn't for the commercials. Couldn't afford to have these billion-dollar stations if it wasn't for people paying for ad time. And what are those advertisers trying to do? Trying to make you feel like you are in lack. Isn't that amazing? In the United States. Now, I know there's hunger, and I know there's poverty, and I know there's people suffering. But it's in no comparison to other nations, if you've been in other places. We were we had some guests from China here, and kind of taking them on a tour of places, and we went by some government housing. And we explained to them what that was, because he asked about, what are these houses here? And we told him what that was. And you know what he said? He said, that is a wealthy neighborhood in China. We don't realize how blessed we are. And the marketers don't want you to count your blessings. The marketers want, you know, it goes back to the old trick from the garden. And the enemy, you know, tempted Adam and Eve and made them feel like they were in lack. And so not only do you not enjoy what you have, you're wanting other stuff that you think is going to make you happy. But I've got news for you. And again, all things are here to be enjoyed. God wants you provided for. But all this wealth down the end of the road, it is a trap. And when you get there and you think you've arrived, you really haven't. And you're like, what? This is it? This is what I spent all this time and effort and resources for? This? And so we here in the United States especially, we've got to be aware of this. And we've got to be conscious of the fact of what others are trying to make us feel about ourselves. We need to look to the Word. We need to look to Jesus to see how we feel about ourselves. Anyone whose happiness and contentment is based on things is doomed to disappointment and despair. Now, the Jews believed that kindness, deeds of kindness, was your treasure in heaven. Doing good deeds, blessing people, helping people, that was treasure in heaven, not stuff. And so I read this the other day. What we selfishly hoard is lost. What is generously given brings treasure in heaven. The early church really had it on their hearts, and we should too, to help the poor. There are poor among us, and we should help them. And it was a big part of the early church was to help the poor. And so at different times, the Romans, they would see the Christians and the way they lived, and they just assumed that they had all this big stockpile of money in their churches. So at various times, they'd come and raid the building. And they'd come in and find no gold, no resources, and they say, where's the gold? And the leaders would point to the poor and say, that's where our treasure is. And so, you know, we look around here today and we think, well, where's our treasure at Good News Church? Is it on our stained glass? In our buildings, in our stuff? You know where our treasure today is? Right next to you. It's people. And so we need to remember, keep these things in perspective. Now let's look at Matthew 6, verse 24. Y'all excited about church today? Yes. That's what you wanted to hear today? Yes. Matthew 6, 24, Message translation. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money. Both. New King James uses the word mammon. Can't serve God or mammon. And the word mammon comes from the Hebrew word meaning material possessions. The word actually means to entrust. And so in the early days, you know, because people were stealing their gold, they said, okay, we need to have a place to put our money. And so they would entrust their money to someone else for storage and for keeping. Safe deposit, right? And eventually, though, the word mammon came to mean money. It came to mean material things. And so the word mammon didn't necessarily mean to entrust. It meant to trust in. And you can't put your trust in money. Again, because it's slippery, it's temporal, it's fleeting. And so we're talking about the trust challenge today. And again, in the society that we live in, we think stuff will make us happy. And I don't want to break your bubble, but the American dream is the American dream is a lie. It is a lie. It is a trap. The Bible says you mingle with the world and you learn their ways, and it is a snare to you. Money, you know, and you're thinking, well, I wish I had more money. I mean, I hear, you know. But it truly doesn't buy you happiness. How long does that new car smell actually last? We actually get some scent to put in our car so it'll still smell like a new car. But I just want to tell you, your car, where it's at now, it's never going to smell like a new car again, so you might as well just give up. Many used to drive it off a lot. And again, Reuben, you're in the car business here. I'm not getting, I want you to have a nice car. But you drive it off a lot, it starts decaying. That new house you move in starts decaying. The new clothes you just bought that you loved the first time you wore it, you wash it, may not fit again. Maybe a different color. Isn't that the worst? Your favorite shirt turns another color, or it shrinks. You can't serve mammon. Mammon, in other words, worldliness. You know, if they come into our house and look at our house and look in our lives, are we any different than the world? Why are we trying so hard to be like them? I'm going to make you think a little bit today. Why are we trying so hard to be like them? We want all their gadgets and all their stuff. Jesus said, quotes it, but it's from Jesus in red, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's more joy in giving than getting. There's more joy in blessing others, helping others. That's what our lives should be about. Now, you follow God's principles, and you're going to prosper. You follow God's word, you're going to increase. You follow God's word, you're going to do better financially. But I'll just let you know, one of the biggest deals in my spiritual life that I had to deal with is when my needs were met. Because what happens is, when your needs are met, then your confidence is in that, or in trying to maintain that, and you forget how you got to where you are. And hopefully you got there by faith. And where you're going, you'll get there by faith. But what happens, it's so easy. Well, I mean, one of the toughest parts for a pastor is when your church gets a new building. Because everybody gets there and think, now we've arrived, we've got our building. And what happens is people relax. They're all excited and doing all these things to get to the building. But then when we get, you know, our giving has gone down since we moved into a building. I'm talking about percentage-wise and different things. Because we've arrived. And so you're going to prosper. You're going to increase. But I hope that we listen, like during this trust challenge, what life is all about. Life is about generosity. Life is about blessing people. Life is about helping people. Life is about serving God. He's my owner. And if we're, you know, and when money comes into our hands, see, it's tax time right now. Checks are coming. I was at the bank on Friday. It was packed. And I asked the lady at the counter, what's going on? We having a bank run here? Giving out free money today? And she said, no, it's tax time. And they got, and again, Reuben, this, I mean, not coming against you today, but I mean, they got that money in their pocket. They want to spend it. How many of those folks consult the owner? How many are consulting the owner who owns it all? He owns my body. My body's not even my own. He knows whatever it is, 1,000, 3,000, 10, whatever it is. He knows the best thing to do with those resources. To bring not just happiness, but joy and contentment. So I would just recommend, you know, go ahead and cash that check. But why don't you spend a couple days praying? He's not against you buying that car or buying that furniture or appliances, whatever it is. But if he's got a better investment, that washing machine's not going to make you happy. Where he wants it to go, that's eternal. So he's going to show you. Well, are we still excited about church today? Don't you love the Word? The Word is so good. It's alive and full of power, quick and living. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I was about to do a woo. But some people are resting, so I didn't want to disturb them. All right, let's go to verse 25. This is good. If you decide for God, it's a decision. I hope you make it. I hope you decide for God. Living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes. Don't you love being around people that just fuss all the time? Don't you love being around complainers? Don't make eye contact with anybody. Complainers, whiners. Don't you just like just negative people? Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes, whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds. Anybody here better than a bird? Better than a flower? Better than the lilies? Probably saying it wrong, Nate. I don't know. I just make up my own words. I drive people at my house crazy because I sing these tunes that sound like other songs, and it's my own words. And if the You know, people in Nashville would only realize my words are better than the original words.
But they're different every time.
That's what makes it so neat. I mean, my shower singing is like an opera. I can hit every note. And it's beautiful. All right, let's just get going here. Look at the birds. Free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description. Who wants to be a bird? Careless in the care of God. Oh, I love that. Careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than the birds. I mean, I didn't wake up this morning. I had a little bird tapping on my door. Let me in. I'm hungry. I want breakfast. No, the birds in my yard, they are fat and sassy. They taunt me. I mean, they get in our bird baths and they just swim around and have fun and they're just chirping away. Who wants to be a bird? Love that song by Lynyrd Skynyrd, "Free Bird." You want me to sing it? All right. Where am I? Who am I? Has any of this fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen the color and design quite like it? The 10 breast. See, I'm thinking about birds. The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. I'm better than a bird. I'm better than a chicken. I'm better than the turkey that's in the field. All right, we'll get out of here. Come on. Let's get it together, will you? You guys are acting up today. Okay. All right. I got to get through this chapter. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which you've never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you? Do his best for you?
Yes.
What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. That's why I'm talking about chickens. Chicken breasts. I'm trying to get you to relax. Chicken wings. You're distracting me. Not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving.
Yes.
People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Now, I love this. Any tea drinkers here?
Yep.
Steep your life in God reality.
Yeah.
Soak in it. Stay there. God initiative. God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
Yes.
Give your attention to what God is doing right now. It's so hard to live right now. We want to live in the past. We want to live in the future. What's God doing right now? And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Yes.
In the New King James, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things the Gentiles seek will be added to you. So what is the kingdom? If we're seeking the kingdom, and the word seek, one of the definitions of seek is to go after. I like that, go after. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom, it's got basically four parts. First of all, the kingdom is where the king lives. And so the kingdom of God is within you. So there should be going after the development of what's inside of me. Then the second part of that is the kingdom of God is also in you. So then I should give attention to my brothers and sisters because the kingdom of God is in them. Third thing is, there's people that are not in the kingdom of God. I should be giving my attention to help those people that are lost find their way into the kingdom. And then the fourth thing about what the kingdom is it's the kingdom to come. This life is short. There's a kingdom that's waiting for us. Jesus is coming. And we ought to live our lives. And we're going to seek first the kingdom. Live our lives in a way that He's coming soon. The word righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is our right standing in God. Righteousness is a free gift from God. Meaning, we should seek after Him because all that we have is by His grace. It's all by a gift. We didn't earn any of it. It's not by our performance. It's because of Jesus' performance. So every day, we ought to be focused on His grace, His love, His goodness, and don't get caught up in me and what I'm doing, how great I am, all the stuff that I have. Now, when I, you know, so we're seeking first the kingdom. What God wants for us as we're doing it, He says He'll add all these things unto us. That's wholeness. What is wholeness? You know, we have five parts in our lives: spirit, soul, body, relationships, and finances are the five, you know, basic parts of our lives. God wants wholeness, all of those to be healthy. But see, we spend so much time out here on this and on all these things and all these different things, when it really works from inside out. If you would seek first, spend time on the kingdom within you. Spend time, first your spirit being born again, then your soul. Spend time on your soul every day. Then your body and your relationships and your finances will come in line with what's in your heart. You see in this? We're doing all this out here. And that's all good things. All the things we're doing out here to make our lives better. But really, wholeness comes from within. It comes from within. And so on your spirit and your soul, which is your heart, if you're seeking God, spend some time daily on that. And what's going to happen? You're going to be trusting Him that all these things the world is seeking is going to be added to you and more. And then you're not going to have any sorrow with it. It's not going to eat you up or you know, bring sickness to your body. It's going to be a blessing. So what's the great enemy to wholeness? What's the great enemy to wholeness? He says it right here in Matthew 6. Worry. Worry. Worry is distractions. Oh man, do we got distractions. We got more distractions today than we've ever had. Distractions, preoccupation with things that cause anxiety. You know how many people are on anxiety medicine? I'm not against that. But some huge number. Millions and millions and millions. Stress. Pressure. We're doing less, working less. We have more free time, have more luxuries, but yet we have more stress. Isn't it amazing? Stress about our lives, stress about relationships, stress about what's happening in the world. Now God has given us His Son Jesus so we can live. We were born again and our spirits were changed, and He actually gave us His very life. Surely we can trust Him for food and clothing and transportation and housing and education. Why would He give us life and not give us what we need to support our lives? Let's go over and look at Luke chapter 10. Remember the story about Mary and Martha? And we're busy today. We're all so busy. We all have so many things going on. And I'm just trying to get you to stop for a moment. And what is all this busyness about? There are benefits to hard work. That's scriptural. All these different things. But what are you living for? Why are you doing all that you're doing? Why are you so busy? What are you running from? What are you afraid of that once you actually take a moment and rest for a moment? What are you afraid of that you might have to deal with? You know, the Sabbath is from God. He rested in creation on the seventh day. One of the best decisions I have made in my life and ministry is taking a day off every week. And you need to have times where you get away from Augusta, get away and get away from all this busyness and all this noise. Well, I'm afraid of what He might say to me when I get alone with Him. Well, that's a whole other issue. That's all about trust. But he's trying to speak to us. He's trying to get things over to us, but we're so stressed. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things, entering in and choke the word. Let's look at Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet. Are you sitting at Jesus' feet? I mean, you could be right here today, and you could be somewhere else. Just because you're sitting there looking at me doesn't mean you're hearing the thing I'm saying. There's so many things swirling around your mind. You can't even stay focused. Sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, I mean, having Jesus come to your house unannounced is a big deal. I mean, what would you do? I mean, we'd paint the house and change everything out, new furniture and you know, everything we could do to get ready for Jesus coming to our house. So it's a big deal. But Jesus says, I mean, all that's good, but the more important thing is for you to sit at my feet and to hear what I'm saying. And how many times? And so I'm not saying what you're doing is not good things. I'm sure you're doing a lot of good things. But if you don't have a strong soul and a strong inner person, I don't care how good it looks out here, it's not going to last. You talk about built to last. You want your inner world to line up with your outer world. We want to spend time on purpose on that inner part of us. It's like you have this, you know, at a theater, you have this big stage, but behind the stage is a huge backstage. And it's got a lot of dark places and a lot of stuff and clutter back there. And the front can look all pretty and all nice, but there's a whole other world going on behind there. Where are you going with your life? If you're going to, if our life is a play or a movie and it all goes towards the final scene, what's the plot in your life that's heading towards that final scene? Are you more like Jesus than you were a year ago? I mean, that's a good question. Are you more like Jesus than you were 5 years ago? Is your glory days in the past? That is a really sad testimony if our glory days are in our past. I'm telling you today, our best days are right now. Our best days are in the future in Christ. Amen. And you have not seen anything yet. And He's not through with you. Amen. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. No. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Nobody can take away your inner world. So I would recommend spend some time there, because that world inside of you is more important than this world out here.
Amen. Amen.
Something I say to people, because I mean, how many know that we can be doing right and just all hell breaking out around us? But I'll just tell you this. And what I've learned, you know, seeking first the kingdom, one of the best things you can do for your mate and for your kids and everybody else around you is to be in God's will. Is to be close to you. And you can have all hell, Jesus was in that mega storm, you can have all hell breaking out around you and He was asleep in the boat. Jesus wants you to know peace. And in all you're doing good and all you're being stressed out, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have rest. And see, we're just going places. I'm working for God. I'm serving the Lord. Doing His work. Come follow me. Come on, catch up. Catch up. You didn't know I could move like that, did you? Not even breathing hard. Shouldn't we be kind of just... Shouldn't we be walking slowly through life? We're walking right past hurting people.
That's right.
Such a hurry to get to the places. I need to get in shape. The anointing was on me though, and it was so easy. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." Or how about this scripture? John 15 verse 5. Oh, I absolutely love this. You're going to love this verse. Kathy, you're going to love this verse. Trish!
Woo!
Exactly! How did you know that's what I was thinking? Look! Look at John 15 verse 5. Will you just look at it? Look at it, Terry. Oh my goodness. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, we'll pose some questions here. If you stay in the same course that you're on right now, where will you be in 5, 10, 15 years? What kind of final scene do you want in your life? Then you need to write the script to match that final scene. What kind of old person do you want to be? You know what's the saddest thing on earth is being around an old person that just whines, complains, bitter. That is really sad. Are you closer to Jesus than you were a year ago? Are the glory days in the past? What are you doing today that's eternal? And doing something to eternal might be resting. That might be the very thing you might need to do to seek first the kingdom, is take a day off. Who are you going to bring to heaven with you? Who do you want there in that big party in the sky? And this is a good question. Does your outer world match your inner world? Thank you, Lord.